Thanks very much for reading, Matt, and lovely to see you all. Today's question is, what do Christians believe? I think you agree with me that this is a really big question. There are lots of ways to answer it, but thankfully, I don't actually need to come up with my own answer because the founder of the Christian movement, Jesus Christ, has told us what the core beliefs of the Christian faith are in a few paragraphs in today's passage. And so today we'll be looking at what he has to say about the core beliefs of the Christian faith. Today's passage is taken from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel is one of the four biographies of Jesus in the Bible. Matthew was one of Jesus' disciples. He spent 3 years with Jesus, traveling around first century Palestine with him. Matthew faithfully recorded the life and teaching of Jesus for us. And so we can be confident that today's passage is a true account of Jesus' words. So let's dive in together to see what Jesus has to say. Our first heading is this: Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me read verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, people at the time of Jesus, that's in the first century, had all sorts of ideas about who Jesus was. They thought that he might be John the Baptist or one of the prophets of the Old Testament. And perhaps this isn't too dissimilar from today. Back at my home church in Kent, once a month, a team of us go out on the streets and we speak to people about Jesus. When we ask them who they think Jesus is, we get all sorts of answers like, "Well, I think Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher or a prophet from God." Perhaps that is what some of us might think about Jesus. Well, let's hear what Jesus' own followers had to say. Verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let's just pause here for a moment. The Christ, the Son of the living God, these aren't terms that we use every day. So let's try and unpack what they mean together. The Christ and the Son of God are biblical titles, and they mean the same thing. They both mean God's anointed one. Some Old Testament background will be helpful here. In the Old Testament, God had promised to send his king into the world to save his people from their sins. You might have come across the term the Messiah. Well, the Messiah is actually the same word as the Christ in Hebrew. God had promised to send his Messiah into the world to save his people from their sins. And so when Peter says to Jesus, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God," what he means is that Jesus is the long-promised Messiah. Jesus is the one who has come to fulfill the promises that God made in the Old Testament. He has come to save his people from their sins. Now, Peter has been a follower of Jesus for some time now. We're in Matthew chapter 16, so there have been 16 chapters of Jesus following, Peter following Jesus, observing him, listening to his teaching, witnessing Jesus' miracles, healings, exorcisms, walking on water, and even feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so Peter has seen plenty of evidence. In fact, he has seen enough evidence to come to a conclusion on who Jesus is. He knows that Jesus isn't just a prophet, or a good man, or a good teacher. Peter is convinced that Jesus is none other than God's promised King, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is why he can say with confidence, "You are the Christ." And we know that Peter is spot on because of Jesus' reply. Look down with me to verse 17. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Do you see that Jesus is commending Peter for getting it exactly right? Peter is blessed because he knows who Jesus is. God the Father has revealed Jesus' identity to Peter. Now, people on the street have all sorts of ideas on who Jesus is. But in today's passage, Peter helpfully tells us who Jesus truly is. He is much more than just a teacher or another prophet. Jesus is the Son of the living God himself. He has come to save his people from their sins. This is really exciting news. Perhaps we've heard it so many times, though, that we have become desensitized to it. But just imagine that you were one of the original disciples of Jesus, one of the 12. After hundreds of years of waiting, the Messiah has finally arrived. This really is the biggest news of all time. BC has become AD. The ancient promises have been fulfilled. A light has shone in the darkness. And if there is one thing that you remember from today's talk, let it be this: Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, our second core belief is this: Jesus must suffer, be killed, and rise again. That's our second heading. Let me read verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." So Jesus has just confirmed who he is in the first section, and now he tells us what his mission is in this second section. And this is his mission: to go up to Jerusalem, to suffer, be killed, and to rise again. Well, I can hear some of you asking, if Jesus is God's king, then why does he have to die? We wouldn't expect that of a king, would we? Well, time for a bit of Old Testament background again. God had promised in the Old Testament that his king would also be a suffering servant. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, a famous Christmas passage, God had promised that his servant would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He would be wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Like a helpless lamb, this servant must suffer at the hands of the religious leaders in Jerusalem and ultimately be put to death by them. But for what purpose? Well, Isaiah goes on to explain that this suffering servant will make many righteous. The servant will bear the sins of many people through his death and secure their forgiveness. He will restore their relationship with God. This is why Jesus, even though he is God's king, must die. Because his death will accomplish God's plan of salvation. Dear friends, here is the bad news. The Bible says that none of us is righteous. We have failed to love God with all our hearts, and we have failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Each one of us is a sinner. But here is the good news. Through Jesus' death on the cross, our sins can be forgiven. Through his death, each one of us can be made right with God. Through his death, we can enter the kingdom of heaven. And on the third day, Jesus will be raised. If we follow Jesus, we too will be raised to eternal life when Jesus returns. We will get to share eternity with him. And so this is the second core belief of Christians. Jesus must suffer, be killed, and rise again. And then in our final section, Jesus turns to what it means to follow him. This is our third heading. Following Jesus means denying oneself and taking up one's cross. And let me just start by saying that of the three sections today, this is going to be the hardest for us personally to hear and accept. In verse 24, Jesus says this, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So we've seen that Jesus is the king who must die. Well, that has consequences for his followers as well. It means that they too have to follow his example. Jesus' top priority was not fulfilling his own desires and wishes, but it was to obey his Father's will. Jesus was willing to suffer and die on the cross because that was what God wanted. And in response, Jesus demands that each one of his followers surrender his or her life to him as their king. They must put him first in their lives. They must say no to their own sinful desires and submit to his will instead. Jesus offers each one of us a stark choice. If we choose to save our lives now, that means living for ourselves rather than for him, then sadly, we will not receive eternal life when he comes back. But on the other hand, if we give up our lives to him as our king, and we live for him rather than for ourselves, then we will find eternal life when he comes back. Verse 26 says this, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done." A man may choose to live for this world. He may accumulate lots of nice things, like big houses and nice cars. He may even become the wealthiest man in the world, like Elon Musk. But what will be the point of it if he ends up losing his soul? Jesus is saying here that the soul of a man or a woman is worth more than the riches of the whole world. That is how precious our souls are. And one day, Jesus will come back in glory to judge this world. He will repay each person according to how they have lived. If a person has surrendered their life to Jesus and lived for him, they will receive life. But if that person has lived for himself or herself, then they will not receive life from Jesus. And so he is asking each one of us to make a choice. Will we follow him? It will be difficult. It will involve putting him first in our lives. It will mean saying no to our own sinful desires and yes to his commands. But it will be worthwhile because he promises life when he returns. We can, of course, choose to ignore him, carry on with our lives as normal. But he warns us, doesn't he? Whoever would save his life now will lose it when he returns. So my hope and prayer is that each one of us in this room will accept his death for us on the cross that saves us from our sins, and that we will follow him as our King. Now, some of us may need more time to think about Jesus and to decide whether to follow him. Well, please do take the time, as much time as you need, to investigate properly. But there will come a time when each one of us will have to make a decision whether to follow Jesus or not. And for those of us who are following Jesus already, well, that's wonderful news. I'm so glad you've made this decision. Let's renew our commitment to King Jesus today. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has died for our sins. He has saved us from death. And he will come back one day to reward us if we stay faithful to him. And so let's keep denying ourselves, taking up our crosses, and following him each day. Let's pray together as we close. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for showing us today who Jesus is, that he is your anointed King. Thank you that he was willing to suffer and die on the cross in our place. Praise you that he was raised on the third day so that we too might share in eternal life when he returns. Please help us to keep living for him each day, to take up our crosses and follow him. And for those of us who are still investigating, we ask that you would reveal more of Jesus to us so that we can make an informed decision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.